Judgment or criticism, anger, whatever that decide what we're going to do with it. Are we going to take all of the negativity, which we can think of as toxins, and put it on to someone else, thus making them a poison container? Or are we going to take the information, internalize it, and do internal damage to ourselves? Or number three, are we going to take the information, internalize it, and find different ways to get it out of our system, be it exercise, going to therapy, talking to our small groups, dissecting it whatever way possible, but not having it to affect others and at the same time getting it out of our system. So there are one of three things that we could actually do when it comes to the things that we are getting on our outside environment that pretty soon becomes internalized and we hear in our heads as part of that inner critic in our inside environment. And so when we have a situation of a person being a poison container, the perpetrator uses the poison container as a means of control. And so this means of control could be bossing that person around, taking over, whether it's projects at church, at work, or at home, extreme anger. It could be deadly silence, which is also can be a form of emotional abuse. It could be trying to force someone to do things our way, which is part of stripping away the creativity and uniqueness from the way that God has created us. So when we are making someone a poison container, or vice versa, it involves, as I said, the spirit of control. And what happens, as Latasha Morrison put it in her book, Be the Bridge on Racial Reconciliation, is that the sins of the oppressor becomes the sins of the oppressed. And so no longer is it just that this is what someone else is doing to me. It becomes, this is the pattern I have chose to adopt internally, not work through it properly, and put on to someone else. And so what happens is, there are several ways that a person can respond to being a poison container. And unfortunately, I have recently had to deal with situations where other individuals were trying to have me to be their poison container. And so when this dynamic is involved, what I have seemed to notice is that the people who are, I guess I would say, recruiting you as their poison container are usually individuals who feel that they can get someone who seems more passive, who they think are easy doormats, who are more reserved, who just pretty much kind of go around, go along with the crowd, and not so much go along with the crowd, but go along with whatever is presented to them without disturbing things. Usually, individuals do not pick other individuals to be poison containers who are very assertive and whose personality is, you better not say anything to me, or I'm going to snap you up. Those are usually not the individuals that are chosen to be poison containers, so to speak. And so at one time in my life, I lacked boundaries, didn't have boundaries of any sort. I lacked self-worth, and I was the perfect candidate to be someone's poison container. I was a doormat slash pushover slash enabler and with an extreme lack of boundaries. However, praise God, and there are times when I am still struggling with that, but nowhere near where it was before. And so now when the dynamic occurs, it doesn't take too long before I am given a clue. My body gives me a clue that I need to do something about the situation. I am feeling tense and tightness in my stomach when I'm listening to my body. And that is letting me know there's an issue of control and fear, which means that something that the other person is doing or not doing, failing to do, is causing this reaction in me. And so that lets me know I need to do something about it. And what will also happen is either I'm doing something about it quick enough, or I am finding myself becoming resentful, which is not the norm for me. And that is also, as I spoke about it, another clue to tell me something is wrong. There is an episode that I did on listening to your body that's out there. So if you go back and listen to that particular episode, it will give you an idea of the different techniques that you can use in order to improve in that area. And so what I experienced and what oftentimes the perpetrators experience when it comes to a pushback on being a poison container is shock initially. And it's as if the victim is the one with the problem. And the individual is not happy at all about the boundaries that you've set. And somehow it gets twisted around as far as you being the problem. When it's not you with the problem, they're actually surprised that the person they thought would be an easy target is not. And so in order to change the dynamics in a situation like that, is simply us needing to get out of the situation. And so if we are finding ourselves in a situation where we know that we are the poison container slash punching bag, there are several things that we need to assess. And the number one thing is, what need am I having fulfilled by me allowing myself to be the poison container? And when we are examining that area, because things do not happen where we're just doing something just to be doing something. As we would think, sometimes we think we're keeping the peace, but being someone else's poison container is actually not keeping the peace. It is causing us to show that we do not care about ourselves. We're not keeping the peace at all. And so we are causing more damage to our bodies and our souls because of someone else's behavior, which could be right on teeter-tottering on the line of emotional and verbal abuse, possibly. And so when we take it, as I said, we're having some type of need fulfilled, whether we need to be needed, we're trying to people please and not upset that person. We're trying to get that person's approval. There is something that is lacking that is allowing us to be a poison container and not speak up for ourselves. And so, as I mentioned before, we're not keeping the peace by allowing others to give us that particular role as doormat slash toxic holder slash this is something to be proud of, because it's not. It only devalues us and squashes down our self-worth. So the first thing that's important, as we talked about a little bit before, is setting up boundaries. And then the second thing is that reminding ourselves that we don't need to apologize for our boundaries. Once we've stated the boundaries, and then we are finding ourselves, as I found myself recently doing, repeating the boundaries over and over again, it becomes a signal to ourselves that, wait a minute, I've already told this person the boundaries. They are continuing to cross these boundaries. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. So this is letting me know that I need to let this person know that this topic is no longer up for discussion. This is what I've stated. This is what you keep doing. You're not honoring my rights and values, nor respecting me as a person. And so this needs to end. And sometimes the relationship needs to end. Sometimes it involves going to a leader or pastor at church. Sometimes it means making changes in your home. Sometimes it means going to a supervisor at work. Just because someone uses you as their poison container does not make that person a pathological. However, choosing to have someone as your poison container does make you toxic when you decide that you will not respect another person's boundaries. And thus, the environment can become very toxic. We cannot do the work for that person, for that individual who's the perpetrator. God wants us to empathize with that person, to empathize with their struggles, but we can't do the work for them. And what Dr. Mark Brackett talks about in his book that's entitled Permission to Feel, he says, he uses what they call a meta moment. And I'm going to read from a page in his book. It says that a meta moment is not just for down-regulating unpleasantness of emotions. That sometimes our best selves help us to stand up for what is right. And when he talks about the meta moment, he says that it is, in simple terms, it's just a pause. The meta moment involves hitting the brakes and stepping out of time. And he says in his book that they call it meta because it's a moment about a moment. And you often associate it with, as he says in his book, with counting as in 1, 2, 3, or even 1 to 10, depending on the severity of the emotion we're struggling to manage. Next, he says that taking one or more deep breaths may also be a part of it. Anything to give ourselves a little room to maneuver and deactivate. And then he says, this is where we stop the action and say, am I hearing this correctly? Or even, I need to pause and take a deep breath right now so I don't blow my top, break down sobbing, or react in some other way I will probably regret. Okay, so that meta moment is very helpful, and I had to find myself doing it a couple of times because I literally thought that I would blow my top when I had exerted boundaries and they were not, those boundaries were not respected. And so if we are continuing to do the back and forth toxic dance with someone who is keeping us as the poison container, we can end up in a relationship of codependency, whether it's in our household, at work, or at church. And so God wants us to stay true to who He created us to be. And so the thing about it, if we're staying true to that person, we are having to deal with situations as in the poison container where someone is trying to strip away the uniqueness that God has given us. And having to figure out as a perpetrator, what are the triggers in that person? And even as the victim, what are the triggers that's causing them to use me as the perpetrator? Sometimes we might figure that out, as in my case, I did, and other times we do not. But the payoff is for the perpetrator. It's not our job to manage someone else's brokenness. It is our jobs to manage ourselves and making sure that we are respected and treated as kings and queens, so to speak, as daughters and sons of God. And when we are allowing ourselves to be the poison container or using someone else, and we are the perpetrators, we are not living out to God's plan. And so today I hope that you have learned something. This conversation could have struck a chord and triggered something that has happened recently, whether at work or home or church or a friendship. But I hope that this has been helpful. And I do want to thank you for being a part of the Healing Our Brokenness listening community. I want to thank Timothy Horton, who is the person that is bringing an intro, outro music every week. And the name of the song is A Valley of Grace. You can find it out on iTunes, Spotify, and it's also out there on YouTube and Amazon. And I hope that you guys have a blessed rest of your week. Until next time.
You turn those valleys into places to learn instead of burn and perish away. And nights never so cold without His grace. How could I say that I've seen the world from His great love? How could I know what He could love? How would I have seen what He had in store for me if I didn't give up and let Him be my valley of grace, where things would change and maybe they'd take up the cross I again? Of grace never was the same after He had died. The love that refined, change. I've seen the light, so